look at Matthew's Gospel this morning. Is that okay? Now, I think I may have spoken to you about this passage at least once before, but this is the risk you get when you have an officer stay around for so long, that you start to get me talking about similar passages or the same passage again. And one of the hints I was given, not in college, just from someone else, some other preacher I was talking to, he said, you just use different illustrations. You talk about the same passage, but use different illustrations. That's the thing they remember. If you give the same talk with the same illustrations, they'll say, oh, we've heard this before. But if you use different illustrations, they'll never know. So, shh. This is Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. It's one of Jesus' parables, and there's something unique about this parable. Something completely unique about this parable. And it's the only one where we have an explanation from the lips of Jesus what the parable is actually about. Okay? By the same token, it's a parable that I've heard, and I know I said this last time, but that's all right. It's a parable that I've heard, I think, not applied the best way that it can be. Okay? So let's read from Matthew 13. We'll start at the start of the chapter. Now, it's one of those things where, like, we've put chapter headings. We've sort of arbitrarily put chapter headings in places. And then immediately the chapter starts with words that refer to something that went before it. That same day. Well, what same day? The same day where Jesus said, anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, is my sister, and is my mother. Okay, so Jesus has just been saying, it's all about doing his will. It's about doing the will of God in our lives. That's what matters. That's what puts us in good relationship with Jesus. Okay? Doing the things that God wants us to do. So that same day, the same day that Jesus is talking about how important it is to do God's will, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Okay, and then there's an interesting and very strange passage where the disciples ask him why he speaks in parables, and we're not going to consider that today. But essentially, I think Jesus is saying that by using parables, you can get past people's intellectual defences. You give them a picture, and the relationship in the parable is what matters, not the words that you use. And I think that's what's happening in that middle passage. Okay? But then he finishes up that conversation with the disciples. So remember the parable he spoke to everyone who wanted to listen. But then the disciples came to him and asked him some questions. And he answered their questions and then he says, okay, well, for example, this is what the parable of the sower means. So this is just to that small group, to the disciples. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, I'm going to keep reading. Okay, there's another parable. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he said, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" So this is the second parable. Both about wheat, because that was the thing that people had in common. That's their common experience. And so Jesus was speaking to that. Now, when I say to you that this first parable is often misapplied, it's kind of turned around, and we are invited to consider our own hearts to see which of those groups we fall into, and to have our hearts made into the good soil that will receive the word, where the word will flourish and where it will bear fruit. I hate to disagree with my learned preacher friends, but I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. I think it's a fact that some people's hearts are like that, and people's hearts may vary from time to time. And it is possible for people's hearts to be softened and changed. And I think that's right, but I don't think that's the point that Jesus is making. And I can understand why people apply this parable to that, because it's a good description of those different conditions of people's hearts. But I think that Jesus is talking to the disciples about obeying the will of God. The ones who obey the will of God, he had said earlier in the day, they are my brother and my sister and my mother. The people who obey the things that God asks them to do, they are the ones who are closest to me. So Jesus, I think, is speaking generally to the people, for those who have ears to hear, but then he speaks more specifically to the disciples. And we are told that he did tell the disciples things like this about other parables, but this is the only one that we have the record of. I think he's saying to them, you're going to wonder sometimes if doing the will of God is worth it. You're going to look for results, and you're going to find instant results that'll fade away. You're going to find no results at all, because the birds are going to snatch away everything that you're doing. You're going to find short-term results that are just going to get strangled and choked. And sometimes you're going to see good results for the things you do as you're obeying the will of your Father. But keep going. Keep sowing the seed. Be faithful. What's one of those great phrases in one of the songs? Both instant and constant. Right? Both working hard now, but constantly staying faithful to the Lord. I think Jesus is encouraging the disciples not to let apparent lack of results put you off. Don't say there's something wrong with the way I'm spreading the seed. Don't say there's something wrong with me because I'm telling the story wrong. Don't say there's something wrong with the message and we have to change it so that people will accept it. We have some terrible examples of some churches that find that they fall into that trap of trying to change what the gospel says so that the people of the world accept it. I think Jesus is saying to the disciples, stay faithful. Stay constant. Don't worry about the results. Worry about your faithfulness. Amen. Because you're going to find all these different sorts of people. Some won't want a bar of you. You'll go into the pub one Friday night. You'll come up to a table where there's one little girl and a whole bunch of adults. And she's looking a bit bored, so you pull out a kid's zone to offer to her, and the grandfather at the table says, "No, thank you very much." So you put the kid's zone away and you walk on and you say, "Have a good night." And the little girl looks around confused, not my job to explain to the little girl why Granddad said no. He can explain it to her later if he wants to. Right? Happened on Friday night. I understand that that guy has had a bad experience. I understand that something's happened in his life where he doesn't right now feel that he can trust the Salvation Army, particularly with children, and we might not have to guess too hard about what that might be that he's upset about. But that event shouldn't stop us carrying on being faithful to the things that God calls us to. You know, when the gentleman came at the same place, this is both at Dural Country Club, when the gentleman came to me the other week and said, no, I don't want you to go into the bistro, they're dining. Okay, that's fine. Not going to have a fight. Something has happened in his life, maybe even that day. And if I stood up and had a ding-dong with him, I might have undone so many things. But I'm not going to come home and cry because there's something about his heart that wasn't ready. I'll keep being faithful, I hope. Jesus is saying, don't look at the results. Don't look at your stats and your numbers. Don't look at, you know, how full your church is. Because if you keep being faithful, you will find people who are ready to hear the word. Keep spreading the word. Keep talking. Keep living it out. Keep working as agents of the Father in doing his will in his world. And you will see things that don't work. You will see things that do work. Don't worry about whether they work or not. Just keep being faithful. It's his business. The harvest is his business.
Yes.
And we will bring the harvest in. Not from everybody we speak to, but from the ones whose hearts are ready. That's where the harvest will come from. But how do we know whose hearts are ready? How do we possibly know? We don't. So we just keep on. Keep on. See, sowing seed in those days isn't like it is these days. It isn't like, you know, you get rid of all the trees, you clear fell the place, then you get rid of the big rocks, and you get it nice and flat, and you go through and you dig the furrows, and you come along with your big machines, and you plant them, and you expect to get about 95% success of the seeds, and all this sort of thing. No. They went out with a big basket, and they just chucked it. Wherever it landed, it landed. And that's why Jesus is telling this parable, because that's the experience they had in their daily life. That wherever the seed landed, it landed. But the fact that they might have only got a response back from 20% of the seeds that they sowed didn't stop them from still continuing to just chuck the seed out. Chuck the seed out. Chuck the seed out. You don't know. You don't know where it's going to land on good soil. Soil might look good, but it might be full of wheat and it might be full of weeds. That's what that second parable is about. There's conflicting events going on. There's two stories going on. There's the message of Jesus and there's the message of the world. They're growing up together. And one of the old words for that weed is a tare, a T-A-R-E. And they tell me that a young plant that's called tare looks very like a young wheat plant. But at some point, you start to see that they're different. And this is when the servants came to the master and said, oh, look, these aren't wheat after all. They're weeds. Do you want us to go and rip them out? And by that time, all their roots are all intertwined. Okay? And the master said, no, we've got to let them grow side by side. We've got to let both things be happening. We have to let the world tell its own story while we're telling our story. We can't be upset that there's people telling different stories from the gospel story. We can't be upset and disheartened because people are reinterpreting what they think the gospel should be. People telling us, oh, you've got Christianity all wrong. Christianity's about being nice. Well, no. Christianity is about being faithful to God. You know, and people will let us be Christians as long as we're Christians according to their definition and not according to ours. If we start being Christians according to our definitions, we can start being called fundamentalists. We can start being called bullies. We can start being called radicals. We can start finding ourselves in a situation where there's two very, very active Facebook groups and I guess there are others as well, but there's two that I know of, who are really, really trying hard to influence the government to stop any Christian influence in any school in any way.
Yeah, ethics classes.
Well, it's not actually the ethics classes that I'm worried about, because I know that the ethics classes have been designed by a Christian. We're aware of that. Simon Longstaff is a Christian. Okay? I'm not worried about the ethics classes. What I'm concerned about is the attitude of these groups that is trying to portray any Christian work in the schools as somehow subversive and infiltrating and not to be trusted and dangerous, right? And just as bad as any fanatical Muslim group. And that's the message that they're trying to... That's the weeds that we're contending with. But
see what we are contending. I just quickly saw this scientist on some interview saying that teaching kids creationism is a form of child abuse.
That's what they're saying. That's exactly what they're saying. That's these groups. They're saying exactly this sort of stuff. Okay, but the weeds, we've got to leave the weeds to be there. But we've got to allow the world to tell their story while we're telling ours. We can't be disheartened by the fact that this stuff is there. How do people know the difference? They need to be able to look at us and say, well, that's what Christians look like.
Amen.
And they seem to be caring people who will bend over backwards to look after us. These people who want to chase the church out of schools, they're as nasty and rotten as all get out. I don't want to be around those people, right? We have to let the weeds bear fruit, and we have to let the wheat bear fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness. Yes, right? Three with one syllable, three with two, three with three, right? As we let the fruit of the Spirit grow and show in our lives, then that's what's going to attract the people whose hearts are ready, okay?
And Jesus is going to win.
Jesus is going to win. I've read the back of the book. Okay. So let's not be disheartened, is what I think the story of the sower is about, particularly when we mix it with that next parable. We've got to let these other stories exist. You know, if we were in Katoomba, we would have to let the witches tell their story and not be upset about the fact that they're doing it. Because our story is better. Our story is the truth. Our story is the story of the truth, Jesus. And so we trust that we are going about the Father's business. We tell the truth. We live out the truth. And we bring the presence of Jesus into everywhere we go. And so people can see for themselves what the Christian story looks like, what the weed story looks like. And what's in their heart, that's what they're going to respond to. And if their heart is already full of weeds, then they'll probably gravitate to the weeds. And there's nothing we can do about that, apart from be faithful and be amongst them so that there's some presence of Jesus there and not be disheartened by apparent lack of success in some areas. Jesus is not saying there's five different situations here, one of them is successful, cut off the other four and concentrate on that one. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, just be faithful. Let God worry about the success or failure.
Yes.
Success for us is being faithful and holding true to the things that God trusts us with. Yeah? So let's hear from the parable of the sower and the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Let's be comfortable about the fact that there is opposition to the gospel in this world. We don't have to enjoy that there is opposition. But let's be at peace about that, because God has warned us about it already. And Jesus has encouraged us to go forward and be faithful and live out the fruit of the Spirit wherever we go. Yeah, let's pray.
Amen.
Thanks, Father.